Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hello.
Hey.
We are here.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yeah?
We almost weren't here.
What?
We almost didn't tape this week.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
So dramatic.
That wasn't dramatic. Your response is dramatic. We almost took this week off.
Yeah, last week you were like, if we're going to be on the podcast, we don't know.
Oh my God, that's not what I was
so
saying.
So ominous.
That's not what I was
saying.
Yeah,
we are here every week.
Not every week.
Like clockwork.
There may be a week that we take off. This week might have been one of those weeks.
Yeah.
I was away on my last vacation of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But I made it back in time.
Heaven and earth moved in our direction.
No.
Just so this podcast could happen.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, really.
Okay.
It's dramatic.
Yeah, you were being dramatic. But yeah, I was away on my final summer vacation.
Where'd you go?
I went to Greece. I went to Yacht Week in Greece. So I stayed on a yacht for a week and moved through Greece.
Okay.
All right.
I use hair grease on a regular basis.
Me too.
Every day,
in fact. As you should.
Yeah.
As you elbow grease. Just grease on your body.
Hair grease only.
Oh, no, no body, nothing. Okay.
Yeah, I use grease.
You know, in modern times we call it lotion, but back in the day it was grease. Your parents used to tell you to go put some grease on.
Yeah, that's true. This is true. Yeah. These are facts. I was there with you because, you know.
No, not quite.
Yeah.
So this is my first time staying on a boat for any days, nonetheless multiple days.
Mm.
So I just wanted to see how I felt about it.
Yeah, but well, not just a boat, it was a yacht. Come on.
Correct.
Don't be modest. Go ahead and flex. Full flex.
Either way, I did well.
Yeah. How's Greece? Greece a good place to visit?
Yeah, so I didn't go to like the most popular destinations of like Mykonos and Santorini.
Yes,
my understanding is that Santorini is like very romantic, right? And so you go there for like your honeymoon and those type of moments. I was with my friends, so Santorini wasn't an option. And Mykonos just wasn't in the direction of where we were going. So we went to Athens, Hydra, Ermione, Poros. So these are small.
That tongue is rolling.
Oh my gosh.
Right now.
These are small islands that are known for a variety of different things. This area is considered the Greek Riviera. So I went to the French Riviera for the beginning of summer. And I ended the summer going through the Greek Riviera.
Well, I used to drive a Buick Riviera.
Yeah, you never drove a Buick Riviera. But yeah.
Yo, so it's kind of like a friendy moon.
A friendy moon?
Like honeymoon, friendy moon.
Sure. Yeah, no one's ever heard this term, but sure, it was a friendy moon.
I'll patent that.
Okay.
Trademark it.
So I will say, had a great time. We are done with the summer vacations, and I am glad about it.
There's so many people that were so glad that you went where you went because they traveled with you, through your Instagram posts and whatnot.
Okay. I'll take that.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Greece was really beautiful. I will say it was extremely picturesque. It was kind of unreal. The water was ridiculously clear. Not the clearest I've ever seen, but it was ridiculously clear. The people were really nice. That it was amazing. Like the people everywhere were just so nice and so helpful and wanted to chat and were complimentary. It was a really good time.
Yeah. More black girls need to travel.
I think black girls are traveling plenty.
No, they need
to. I think black men are the ones who need to travel. Black women, we are outside.
Yeah, we be going to Detroit, Cleveland.
Y'all can't pull yourselves together to do a, like, to come together as a group.
We need leadership.
Girls, we will just book and be like, girl, you trying to come? And you either are or you are not. Men.
Excuse factories. Yeah.
Excuse factories.
Let me come up with a good one this time why I can't go.
Yeah, y'all just can't. So it's black men.
Yeah. Who need to travel. I went on a trip, by the way.
Okay.
Okay.
Where'd you go?
I went to New Orleans with my boys.
I think that's a great trip.
And I'm going to Vegas with my brother.
There you go. Y'all gotta be related to pull this together.
You see what I'm saying?
So, but let's keep it a buck. Everybody isn't going to Vegas who's supposed to be going to Vegas.
Yeah, no, my little brother flaked, of course.
So Alan has two brothers.
Excuse Factory was in effect.
He has, you know, this is their a brother's trip, but could only get half the brothers.
Yeah. It's still brothers technically, but it's not all of them.
See, again, women, we going.
Yeah.
We don't even have to have the money, we going.
Yeah. I love my brothers. I wish that they would both be there, but I'm glad with the one.
Just start off with one. Maybe, just start off with one. That's a start.
Yeah. Oh, I'm good. I'm
Mind you, I went on a trip with six other people. And
just go ahead, just rub it in my
face.
I'm
just saying, like, and most of them were women. So what I'm saying is, like, women will, it doesn't matter. We don't even have to be friends. We don't have to be related. Mm. We don't have to be friends. Like, if you just hear a girl is going on, like, a bomb trip, you'd be like, girl, I'll go. Mm.
So I'm going to tell you about me and my boys. So at when we were in our 20s, we said at age 30, we are going to take a big trip.
Okay.
And then every year, we're going to take a big guy's trip every single year.
Ball out.
This year was the second trip we ever took.
Okay.
I'm 45 and only
have they been
three
as
guys.
Big as you expected?
We had one where like the whole crew came. Okay. I have a group text. This is my group text crew from college. And there are six of us. And at that big one, I think five of us made it, which was really, was substantial.
That's substantial.
And then we dropped to three. And again, it's 2 out of 15 years we pulled off.
All right.
Successfully.
Numbers aren't strong.
Actually, no. Maybe it was 3 out of 15 years.
Okay. So I have a funny group chat story.
Okay.
So during the trip, we decided to create a group chat.
Okay.
So that we could all know, just be dialed in with each other.
I love group texts.
So this was on WhatsApp. And so the name of the group chat was Ninjas in Greece.
Okay.
See
what you did there.
Yep. For sure. And then we decided, oh, it may be good to include our yacht crew in the group chat just so they could give us all feedback and updates and information at the same time.
So now you got a mixed group with ninjas in Greece?
Okay. They don't know. They didn't pick up. They didn't know what it was. Our captain was from the Netherlands. I feel like it went over his head. Our chef, she was French. So we just got started getting a little too free.
Wait, there was a...
As the days went on.
There's a chef? Wait a minute. Keep going. I'm sorry.
So as the days got on, we started to get a little bit too free in the group chat, forgetting that they were, because they didn't really say much, right? They would chime in and be like, oh, breakfast is at this time. Do y'all want this for dinner?
So y'all dropping the N-word in there?
Oh, we were wild.
Oh, my God.
Pictures, videos. We were talking about them. Luckily, everything we had to say was really, really positive.
Okay.
We didn't have any negative things to say, but like, we caught them out like at a party when we weren't on the boat.
Mm.
And it's like, look at these ninjas out here. Look at Peter go. Like, you know what I mean?
Wow.
So then we had to remember, like, they're in the group chat. So then we had to make a second group chat called The Real Ninjas in Greece.
Add me to that one.
Yeah.
So
it was very, it was a good time.
Because if I'm nothing, I'm a real ninja.
Yeah.
That's for
we
sure.
We were definitely real ninjas for sure.
All right. So what are we talking about today, Tiffany?
Not Greece, not being ninjas. We're talking about fear.
Yeah.
Like just fear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say I think fear is healthy, but I think the passing feeling of fear is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that means you're doing things that are outside of your comfort zone, right? If you feel a moment of fear, you might still do it. You know, my biggest thing is to do it scared. But to know that you are doing something that feels bigger than you, or again, outside of your comfort zone, or new and unfamiliar, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But I think anxiety
mm-hmm.
is something different. Financial anxiety.
Yeah.
Because this is something that can be paralyzing. It's something that can cause you to lose sleep. It can cause you to make really bad decisions and just 100%. Procrastinate.
And it can also ruin relationships. So there's a lot of fear around money, especially I feel like in the Black community. And I think it's more, this is my own perspective, I think it's more in the Black community than in other communities. We are afraid to talk about money. We are afraid to not have money. We're afraid to have money.
Yeah.
You know, like we are just very fearful around money to the point, as you mentioned, where it could cause paralysis. It could cause you to just not do anything, not do any of the right things because you're afraid you're going to do the wrong thing or you're just not sure what the right thing is to do. And so we feel like fear is a major component to the lack of opportunity and the lack of wealth in the Black community.
It's interesting that you said that, Tiffany, because a recent study
shows
that...
That was his, I don't know if y'all picked up, that was his serious voice.
It's so interesting, Tiffany, that you
his
said that.
His public service announcement voice.
It's still so interesting that you said that, Tiffany, because a recent study showed that
over
3 out of 4 Americans, 77%, report feeling anxious about their financial situation. And their financial worries include a broad range of issues ranging from saving for retirement to affording a house or even their kids' education.
I mean, seriously. So again... And when I talk about fear, I oftentimes think that people think, oh, if you're afraid about money, you must be broke. And that, I don't think that's the case at all. It's just the lack of know-how. Even when you have money, especially when people start making real money for the first time, I think they get even more fearful or anxious because they don't know what to do with this money. They don't know how taxes work effectively. And again, they do have these life moments that they're concerned about, especially, oh, you start to make a lot more money. It's like, well, should I buy a house? Am I supposed to buy a house now?
Yeah.
Like, aren't I supposed to invest this? I don't know anything about it. Do I trust the stock? I don't trust the stock market. I heard about what happened in 2008. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to just put my money in a mattress. What if I get robbed?
Well, one of the issues for our community is that a lot of us are Generation One.
Yeah.
We are the first in the history of our family to have an opportunity to create wealth.
Correct.
And because of that, we can't go to our parents necessarily and ask for advice.
Yeah. I think we're also oftentimes afraid of our financial situation. That's why we don't talk about it with our friends, because I definitely agree why we don't talk about it with our parents, because they probably can't relate to the type of money that you're making now. But even your friends who you, even your peers, your colleagues who, you know, y'all all balling, y'all all making the same money. Mm-hmm. You're still afraid to have the conversation because you don't want to be judged. I think that's the biggest thing, is that just you don't want to be judged. And so the fear of judgment will allow you to keep yourself stagnant.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. Let's go back to the study for a minute. So 58% of the people surveyed feel that finances control their lives. 52% have difficulty controlling their money-related worries. Some of the biggest issues that folks are worried about was retirement, 68%, cost of living, 56%, and debt, 45%.
Okay. So more, at least more people are worried about retirement than managing debt.
Yeah,
that's true. That makes me know that people are at least thinking about retirement.
Thinking about it. I think a lot of folks there, when they think about it, it's like, oh, I'll never be able to do that.
Yeah.
Or maybe, like, I spoke to a person this week who was like, yeah, I'll probably retire for like a year and then I'll be right back at it. Like, that's not really retirement.
It might be right back at it might mean something completely different.
Yeah.
You know?
I would just think that for most people, they'd want the option to be like, yo, I'm done. Option.
Yeah.
May not take the option, but you want that ability.
I kind of like that idea. Like retirement for me, I've always said like retirement for me doesn't mean I'm not going to be working. I'm always going to be working. I'm just going to pivot in the amount of effort that I have to put forth, the time that's my own and what I'm doing. But I do like the idea. Maybe I take a year off first.
Yeah.
Just go on a retirement tour.
Yeah. I could see doing that like in your 40s or 50s.
And get back into something new, lighter, and requires less of my time.
Yeah, I can see doing it in my 40s or 50s. I don't want to do that at age 70.
You're in your 40s. Your 50s are fast approaching.
What I'm saying is for a person who's making this plan,
yeah,
like I don't want to be taking a year off at age 71. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Then we got to talk about like the impact of financial stress or financial fear. So a lot of people, 43% of Americans, said they feel fatigued at the thought of facing their financial fears. 42% find it difficult to concentrate at work. And 41% have trouble sleeping.
That's terrible.
It's just stress.
Yeah,
you know what
terrible.
I mean? Like, it's just stress. Especially, I understand the difficult to concentrate at work, especially if you feel like you're not getting paid, like the way you want to get paid.
Yeah.
And you got to deal with this work. You got to deal with these people. But it's stress. Stress on all levels is the same and it has a variety of different impacts. But I feel like the stress associated with money and finances is so relatable.
Yeah. Lamar Jackson is holding out on the Ravens. He said, look, I'm not playing until I get a new contract.
Really?
He was feeling stressed. He's still on his rookie deal. And he's
balling out.
Way outperformed
balling
it.
Balling out.
And you got guys getting hundreds of millions of dollars. Russell Wilson got almost $300 million. So, you know.
How many more years does he have on his rookie contract?
I think like a year or two. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this, right? Like, I feel like you might. I don't know. I feel like a contract is a contract.
Yeah, but he has trouble sleeping. I'm sure.
You have trouble sleeping because you get hit. Like, but I kind of, you know, he's not having trouble sleeping because he's not making enough money, like, to survive, right? This isn't a survival type of thing. You're not making as much money as you feel like you deserve.
Facts.
Or at your true value. I get that. But I don't know. A contract is a contract, one. And then two, and this is not me, I don't even bang with the NFL like that. I'm just thinking like across the board. You know, if this happens for him, it's going to be a shit show.
What do you mean?
For the rest of the NFL moving forward, for rookies moving forward who feel like, oh, I did good. Now I can just break my contract.
No, it happens all the time. This is nothing new.
Yeah, yeah, I wasn't aware
from
that.
This is from the ball out playbook.
So if this happens all the time, do your thing, Playboy.
Yeah.
I thought like this was the first. He was trying to be like the Martin Luther King of this.
Yeah, no.
He was going to crawl so we could.
Yeah, no.
Okay, but if that's not the case.
Yeah, this is, but what's crazy, so he had this whole deadline. He's like, look, if you don't give me a contract by Friday, I ain't playing.
Mm.
And by the way, I'm going to the game this weekend. And so I'm like, looking forward to seeing him play. He's like, I'm not playing.
Word.
Then he's like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and play.
Because how do you prove that you're worth the money?
Nah, the issue is like, if you're going to say all that and I'm not playing, you can't then just go play.
First of all, here's the thing. You have worked your entire life to play this game. You're going to keep playing this game. For those who don't know, in the NFL specifically, it's paycheck to paycheck. You don't get a check one day to last you throughout the entire season.
Yeah, no.
You get paid
every week.
Every week.
There's a game.
After you play.
Yeah.
And if you don't play, you don't get paid. So I think he needed his paycheck.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen in mostly any other sport, but the NFL, you actually have to go to work to get paid. It is a week by week pay situation.
Yeah. But at the same time, Tiffany, if you're going to be so bold as to be like, yo,
no, it's a fact.
I'm holding out.
It's a fact.
And then you fold.
Like, it's a fact.
That just shows a little bit of weakness. But either way, so going back to the survey, yeah, folks are saying, 25% of folks are saying that this financial stress is impacting their relationship.
A lot of people are saying this is their top contributor to stress and anxiety in their life.
Yeah. A big percentage is also saying that their lack of financial literacy is causing them financial
stress.
Totally.
We just don't know. Again, it's considered maybe analysis paralysis, or you don't know, so you just stay stagnant.
Yeah. So I read a book recently. Okay, let me say this properly. I actually didn't read the book. Okay.
Like, when did you read a book?
I saw a book recently.
And
okay.
You skimmed it. Took a couple
okay.
pages.
I didn't really skim it.
Looked up the audiobook.
Okay. I just went straight to the last chapter because it looked interesting.
Okay. The last chapter.
I skimmed through the table of contents.
Okay.
I stopped at the last chapter and said, oh, I think I'm going to start reading this book.
From the back.
From the back.
Okay.
Hit that thing from the back.
Got it.
Hit that book from the back.
There you go.
But it had all, the book was called Think and Grow Rich, and it's written like in the
60s. Yeah, and we've all heard of this book.
Yeah, I've never read the book.
Me
I can't
either.
Endorse the book, but this one chapter I thought was bomb.
Okay.
And they talked about fear, and this book was really written from the perspective of, you know, in the 60s, they're reflecting on the mindset of Americans in the Great Depression.
Yeah, and it states that fear is nothing more than a state of mind. And thankfully, one state of mind is subject to control and direction.
Yeah.
We do have control.
Yeah, you really do.
And we can pivot the direction of our state of mind. It takes work,
mm-hmm.
It takes research, and it takes time.
Yeah.
But if fear is simply just your state of mind, aren't we glad that we can do something about it?
Yeah, because that's the one thing that you can absolutely control. It may not be easy, but your thoughts, you've got control over your thoughts.
That's 100%. So really quick tangent, on my trip, on the boat with me, who was a friend of another friend, we had a behavioral analyst
really?
On our boat with us.
So were they analyzing the hell out y'all?
No, she was here to have a good time and turn
okay.
up. But, you know, for me, I wanted to understand what that meant and what she did and what type of people she worked with. And so she works with a variety of different type of people. But her clients, her personal clients, are people who have habits that they want to break, or people who are having a difficult time making life decisions based on their state of mind. Mm-hmm. And so she analyzes your behaviors, learns about your state of mind attached to those behaviors, and then helps you change them.
Yeah. A lot of times you're your own worst enemy when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah. Or like, we're our only resource. We believe the only resource is us. And so whatever I think it is, that's what it is. And if I can't get it right, then this is just who I am.
Us and the Momentum Advisors. Like, listen to the podcast. It's us in that respect.
Yeah,
yes, I agree.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely would use her services for sure.
Yeah, I'm actually going to consider becoming a client. Yeah. I have some habits that I want to break, and I have some things that are not making as much progress as I'd like to. And I'm positive it is just my way of thinking about it. Yeah. There is no other obstacle in the way.
And I'll submit a list of things that you should work on to this behaviorist as well.
Absolutely not. But one of the biggest things about fear is a poverty mindset. I think we've heard that term so many times. A lot of people don't know that they actually have a poverty mindset. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we're talking about fear.
Yeah, we really are.
Yeah. And before we left, we were talking about a poverty mindset, right? Yeah. Which is really rooted in fear. So let's just talk about, when we think about a poverty mindset, let's talk about some of the symptoms of the fear of poverty. One is indifference, mm-hmm. right? And that may not sound like, why are you afraid of something if you're indifferent? But indifference meaning it's expressed through lack of ambition. Like, you don't really care. Like, I'm not about to be working all hard. I'm never going to make enough money. I'm never going to get out of debt. I'm never going to pay off these student loans. Like, you just accept the position of poverty and you've become indifferent to moving out of it. Like, you don't even believe that it's possible. So you don't take initiative. You might be lazy. You might have a very limited imagination or no enthusiasm around life because you're like, I'm always going to be broke. I'm always going to be in this place of not having enough money.
It also reminds me of this willingness to just tolerate poverty.
Yeah.
Like, meaning, like, I have a family member, when I go visit him or her, I don't want to incriminate
them.
They're just wallowing in filth.
Mm.
And that's a choice.
Yeah.
Like, clean up your crib.
Yeah.
Take a shower, like,
that's
shave.
That's also a sign of depression. You know what I mean? But I do agree. Like, when you're just like, whatever, yo, I'm not cleaning up around me because my house ain't never going to be nice enough, or I'm never going to be able to get it clean, or no need for me to get dressed up or properly groomed. Ain't nobody looking at me. Or, you know, I don't have anywhere nice to go.
Yeah.
I would. So something that I do, this is the opposite. I've never had a poverty mindset. Let's start there. I don't know if y'all picked up on that.
Luxury mindset.
When I was broke, I still didn't have a poverty mindset. But on this trip to Greece, whenever I travel, I like to shop. Let's start there.
Yeah, this is true.
Especially in Europe, just because the prices are different. But I also want to have something that as a memory, something that I can say, oh, this was a very special thing native to this place.
Okay.
So while I was in Greece, we stumbled upon a designer boutique from a Greek designer where everything is made, sourced in Greece, right? And my best friend was with me, and this was a formal house, right? So it's formal wear. There weren't any like t-shirts, nothing casual to wear. She was like, where are we going? Why are we going to buy anything in here? We don't have anywhere to go. I was like, I'm going to find a place for us to go. Like, we're going to have a place to go.
Ooh.
We definitely moved forward and bought these very over the top gowns. That was hard to pack getting back. But the mindset for me is always, I will buy something with the expectation that the place for me to go or the place for me to wear it will come to me.
Yeah, I like that.
That's the way you want to think about life. That's the way you want to think about money, right? Like, I know people who use the affirmation, like, money flows to me. Like, they say that to themselves. Mm-hmm. That's not enough. But it's a start, you know what I mean? Instead of just being indifferent in your situation and feeling like I'm stagnant, I'm here, so I don't really care. I'm not doing anything. I'm not putting any extra work ethic. I'm not working on myself because I'm going to be broke regardless.
Yeah. There's one thing that I actually love that Steve Harvey says. It's this idea of the law of attraction. And it's the notion that the more you focus on something, the more you're going to get it. So if you're saying to yourself, I'm always going to be broke, then guess what? You're always going to be broke. Like, that's a fact. Like, if you fill your mind with positive thoughts, you're going to get positive things. But if you are overly focused on the negative, if you are overly tolerating bad experiences and poverty around you, you're attracting it. And that's a fact. So other things that are part of this mindset, it's indecision. It's not making a decision. It's allowing other people to make those decisions for you and being like, oh, well, whatever. You got to be decisive.
Very true. Very true. People are afraid to make decisions, 100%.
Yeah, I agree. Doubt. Doubt's another one.
Yeah.
People that are always worried about what may not work out, doubting themselves. I don't think I can get it.
Yeah.
If you don't think you can get it,
you're not going to get it.
You're probably not going to get it.
Yeah.
You got to believe.
You got to believe in your words are just that powerful. You are just that powerful. Yeah. You, whatever you say can and will come to pass. And so you are reciting affirmations over yourself, good or bad.
Yeah.
You can easily say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make more money. Life is going to be better for me. Or you can say, life isn't going to be better for me. And guarantee your environment and your ecosystem around you will obey.
No matter which one you say, you're right.
Word.
You're absolutely going to be right.
Word. There's also worry, which is just kind of like the basic start. I feel like worry is kind of like the pregame of fear. Mm. You start to worry about a thing and then you're just straight scared. You're just straight fearful after that.
Yeah. I don't think worry is something that we were born with. Mm. We learned how to worry, didn't we?
I don't know. I think, no, you know what? Yes, because children are fearless. You know what I mean? Like jumping off the couch. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They just start walking one day. Like, you know what? I'm going to keep trying until I can walk.
Yo, there's this funny video. I don't know if you saw it. It's really not, it shouldn't be funny, but this kid is wearing a Superman cape. Did you see this? And he just jumps down the steps.
Word. Listen.
And his dad's like, don't do that.
No, do that. I mean, I'm glad. I don't want this kid to get hurt. But like, that was fearlessness. It never crossed his mind that he wasn't a superhero and that he wasn't going to be able to fly.
Facts.
Time to make it happen. If we could hold on to a little bit of that mixed with common sense, please don't jump down your stairs. But I think it would be a game changer for people's wealth and just for their success and progress in life.
Yeah.
Another symptom of fear or a poverty mindset is overcaution.
Mm-hmm.
Just over, like, I don't, whoa.
Stocks, wait, no. 401k at work.
You heard them went down one time.
Yeah.
You heard them. Stocks are down. Mm. I don't trust the bank.
Yeah. Mm-mm. I'm not putting my money in the bank.
I don't know who FDIC is. You know what I mean? Like everything, you're just over caution, just afraid to do anything, just overthinking every little thing.
Yeah.
One thing, just if I could help people out, people who are not invested in the market, right? Or don't have a financial advisor. Y'all say things like, and again, this just comes from not knowing. I'm not about to give you my money. We don't have your money.
Yeah, we really don't.
We don't take your money from you. It's still in the bank.
It's your
with
money.
Your full access to it. You can spend it how you choose. It probably doesn't really speak to the strategy. You don't give anybody your money when you're investing.
No, you don't.
Okay, you give them access to the ability to make decisions around the growth of your money. It's really just access. We now both have access. I can't
to trade.
It to trade, right?
To
very limited access. But I feel like I hear all the time, I'm not about to give nobody my money.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
You heard about them Lehmans?
Them Lehmans.
Okay. Now, y'all were giving them y'all's money. Like, whoever was a part of that. So that's the crime. That's the crime of it all. If a financial advisor is asking you to give your money to them, wherein that you no longer have it or have access to it, that is a crime.
Yeah.
Okay. Often falls in the lines of a Ponzi scheme.
Madoff.
Okay. Madoff.
He really did.
That's not what you're doing. Investing is just giving a trained, licensed professional access to your money to trade.
Yeah. Procrastination is another one.
Listen, especially when it comes to answering the phone.
Yeah.
You are not going to answer the phone. What? Bill collectors.
Oh my God.
You just won't talk to them. Like we tell you all the time, and I have been guilty of this in the past. Just talk to them. Just start by telling them the truth. 100% the truth. I don't have enough money. I don't make enough money. Guaranteed, the situation will turn out better than you just avoiding, procrastinating, not opening the bills, not checking your bank account. Listen, I'll know when it gets declined.
Or procrastinating around your financial tasks, like things that you know you've got to get done, but I'm going to put it off.
There's taxes,
this great commercial.
Estate plan.
This couple's looking at their life insurance situation and somebody just died. And the wife's like, we have life insurance, don't we?
And he's looking crazy.
He's like, ah,
right.
I meant to get that.
Right. Because he's like, I was having a hard time finding a policy we could afford.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just
so you get nothing, my
right.
guy?
So we just out here bad. You know what I mean? Just start with something.
Kids just ass out.
Yeah. So procrastination is very big and it's extremely common. And we do it in so many areas of our life. A lot of it has to do with just fear and anxiety around the thing.
Yeah. We have a, listen, I'm not talking bad about anyone, but there's a listener who literally hit us up 1 year ago. And on the anniversary, when he hit us up the first time, hit us up again. And it just reminded me of like, yo, a year ago, we kind of talked about, or we attempted to kind of talk about the things that need to be done. And then literally a year later on the actual anniversary, hitting us up again. And so it's like a year has passed.
Right. You haven't done shit.
Yeah, really. So we've got to get started today if we want to get out of this poverty mindset and really start to build some wealth. An inferiority complex is part of a poverty mindset. Yeah.
So you can hear this, right? You can hear when somebody has an inferiority complex. When you're with your friends or just people.
What does it sound like to you?
So you are doing something. Oh my God, I went to this beautiful restaurant last night and we got dressed up and you had to like make reservations, you know, several weeks in advance, but I had a beautiful steak and then they had like a lobster. We had like a surf and turf. Man, I don't go to places like that. You know, that's you big time. You know you big timing. That's how you do. You know how you do.
You probably even ordered horse dollars.
You know what I mean? When you hear you, big time, you so big time, or like, you know how she does the most.
Yeah.
Oftentimes it could be the feeling of, because I can't do things like that, or I'm not suitable to do things like that. Mm. You just somehow feel that someone else who has more is doing better than you or is better than you. Not being mindful of their journey also, like we all kind of got to start somewhere. There's no reason to feel inferior. And honestly, you should feel inferior if you're just not doing anything about it.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Right, because that person, you should feel inferior to that person's work ethic or their ability to just try to figure it out and move scared.
Yeah.
But not inferior because you don't have the same amount of money or the same material things.
Yeah, we all get the same 24 hours. Now look, some folks might have had some disadvantages in their life, and I don't discount that at all. We've had disadvantages in our life, for sure, but we've tried to make the most of it. You know what I mean? And if you've got health and a decent mind, you got to put it to work.
Yeah.
And you're not inferior to anyone.
Now the opposite is extravagance.
Mm.
Balling.
Yeah, just spending money you don't have.
You don't have.
You really don't have it.
100%. And you're fully aware. It's like keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah. I spoke to a guy this week who, God bless him, but my man has a nice car and a motorcycle, no house, wants to buy a business that costs millions of dollars. And look, I want you to buy a business, but you got to be prepared. Like you got to have some money in the bank.
If I don't have $1 million business, I'm not going to be able to get the house. I can't do all that. I got to start somewhere. I got to start at the $1 million business.
Do you need a car and a motorcycle before you get a house though, my guy?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm just asking, Tiffany, do you need both?
Yeah, because I don't want to be tied down by a house. No, but I get what you're saying, right? Like I completely agree. Just doing too much. This is a symptom of fear. You're afraid to sacrifice. You're afraid that people might find out that you've got some more work to do. You're afraid to not look like you're on the same level of everyone else. So you do too much when you don't have the money.
Yeah.
And people do it even in the, what they call it, house poor. You buy a house you can't really afford. Mm. And so now all your money's going towards a mortgage payment. You don't have no furniture in the house. There's never no food in there. You can't go nowhere. That's extravagance. That's doing too much, that is a sign of fear.
Yeah, or just buying the expensive car to make it look like you've got money.
Word.
But don't follow me back to my apartment. You know what I mean?
Don't ask me if I got insurance on it.
Yeah, don't.
It's definitely no gas in the car.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
We talked about like lack of initiative, lack of ambition. Oftentimes, again, that can fall under just indifference.
Ooh, poverty, hypochondria. So hypochondriacs are folks that have this imaginary feeling of sickness all the time.
For a second, I thought about mitochondria. I'm like, oh my God. Alan, DNA is in your DNA? Damn.
No, the poverty hypochondria is this notion of like constantly focusing on what you don't have, yeah. Constantly focusing on lack, constantly focusing on the fact that I'm broke and that I'm, you know, I've just got so many, I'm so downtrodden. I've got the cloud over my head at all times.
It's never okay. So hypochondria literally is a medical term for imaginary disease.
Yeah.
Nothing's wrong. Nothing's happening to you. You just think this way. So like extreme cases are, and I watched a movie on this, like extreme cases are people who swear they're dying.
Yeah. And you actually start to feel like you're dying.
Yeah. Yeah. Your body will respond. So like they have a cough. That's the cancer's coming back. Like what? You didn't have it to begin with.
I stubbed my toe. I think I got to get it amputated.
Just like it and just so... From a financial perspective, it's even worse. Like when you think about poverty, like you say, everything is just broke. Everything, I might be evicted by the time I get home today.
Yeah.
You just pay the rent. Like what is happening? But it happens for a lot of people. It is just the habit of talking about and concentrating on being broke. Everything supports your story and narrative of how broke I am and will always be. We all have friends like this. We all have friends that act like this. I can't afford that. Mm. Just anytime you say anything, you want to go half on some Skittles? Skittles.
I had cereal this morning. Cereal? You had milk in it?
Yeah, but it's a thing. It's a real thing. There's also self-coddling.
Yeah, that's the person that's always making a bid for sympathy.
Oh, just the sympathy.
Always just like, hey, you know, I'm struggling right now. Can you help me out?
But like they're not actually struggling because there are people who are genuinely struggling. You have friends, you have family members specifically that's always down bad. And that is a formal term. Down bad is a formal term.
Yo, Tiffany, I am down bad.
You always have a family member that's down bad. And you like, you were just at their house and like things are going fine. Yeah. Like things are going fine. But they need sympathy. They need to throw it in your face. What they don't have or what they think they don't have. It's not the not having, it's the constantly throwing it in your face, which is begging for sympathy. That's self-coddling.
Yeah.
This is not the same as asking for help, right? Because they don't really ask for help. They just want
to feel sorry for them.
A picture of how bad I'm doing so you can just feel bad for
me. A lot of people do this on social media, which I do not understand.
What does your feed look like? Because my feed is the opposite. My feed is the extravagance. You don't have it.
Okay, this is what I'm talking about. Man, my boss was up here wilding today. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. Please pray for me. I can't tell you what it's for. And then you find out what it's for, and it's like his boss was mad at him because he was late.
So Alan's throwing shade. Y'all don't know it. And there is a particular person on his feed, because he's also on my feed, that does this often.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, you want people to feel sorry for you. You want sympathy constantly.
Another more serious symptom is called intemperance, right? And so that's just using drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, drinking away the pain.
Just to not think about it.
Yeah, a little Hennessy.
Self-medicate.
Straight after work.
Constantly.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I ain't even touched now.
Yeah, I can't believe Tiffany got that.
Whoa.
Greek vacation on a yacht.
Mind your business.
I'm going to kill this girl.
Wait a minute. That is not what jealousy looks like at all. But yeah, just being jealous of other people for the things that they have. Gambling.
Yeah.
This is something that I feel like I see in top-level executives, right? They have access to large amounts of money, but it's not their own. They've spent their money, or they're using gambling as their strategy, as their wealth management plan.
Yeah, or folks that are counting on the lottery.
Yeah, I'm going to hit it big, and I'm going to be able to pay all my bills, and I'm going to be straight.
Yeah, or I'm going to do this one business deal that's going to set me up for life.
And then when it doesn't work out, you just keep going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And so now you have a gambling addiction with money that you don't have, or that could be used living the life that you really want to live.
Talking down on yourself as you age. I must say I'm guilty of this one sometimes. I'm like, yeah, my, you know, just talking about your knees hurt, your back hurt. I'm getting old. My hair's turning gray. You know, my better days are behind me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
Yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. Mm. I'm over it now.
You're not.
I am.
Let me tell you, Alan Harps.
Yeah, I don't like that my hair is turning so gray. Hair. I want a touch of gray.
He is considered, y'all. So let me just tell y'all now, to hold him accountable. He is considered dying
his hair. Cancel this.
If y'all see Alan Boomer
with a full head of black hair,
it's a lie and it's a problem.
And the truth ain't in me.
Call him out and say, brother, I know that is not how you look. Okay? That's his only thing.
The only issue with hair dye was when it starts to turn like brown and green and yellow.
Because the gray's going to come back through. Right?
I just don't want it to be. I don't want to go completely white.
You don't. It'll look nice. It's fine. You'll be fine.
I'm going to stop doing that.
Okay. I hope so. Because it's ridiculous the way you hate. He'll be like, are my sides more gray today than they were yesterday? It's like, yo, you look the exact same since I've known you. But all right,
I'm just getting my hat game on.
Oh, and then what? The other thing he does, which is disrespectful. Tiffany, is that a gray hair? You got a gray hair? First of all, mind your business. I don't have an issue. I don't have the same issues you have. I'm fine with it. I am aging beautifully and gracefully.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, we both got some grays. That's all. That's got to point it
you
out.
You just have a lot more. The last one that I'm going to say just the symptom, because we've got other things that we need to talk about, like how to overcome this fear, is focusing on death. Mm-hmm. And just thinking that the only way you're going to get out of your financial situation is when you die, if you die, mm-hmm. or thinking that other people are better off with you dead because there's some sort of insurance policy or there's no more debt, right? Just constantly, death is the answer for your financial situation, for your poverty, for that's your strategy. If I was gone, I wouldn't have to worry about this. Mm-hmm. And just constantly talking about it. It doesn't mean you're suicidal. It's just your focus. Because you don't have either the tools, the resources, or just the feeling inside of you to want to pivot and think about something different.
Lord, that's deep.
So these are a lot of the symptoms of the fear of poverty. Yeah. Now we got to talk about how to overcome it.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
Momentum.
So we're talking about fear.
Yeah. I heard one time, and it stuck with me, that fear is false evidence appearing real. It's false evidence, but it appears real. Like, it feels real, doesn't it?
It feels real.
When you're afraid of something, it feels like it is completely real, but it's in your head, and you've got control over it. And we should talk about how to face your financial fears.
So the first thing you have to do, you have to acknowledge it. Like, just acknowledge that this feeling that you have, your inability to sleep, your lack of motivation around work, just some of the things we mentioned earlier, your jealousy. You know, I'm just afraid.
Yeah.
I just have a poverty mindset, or I'm just fearful.
Yeah.
Like, acknowledge that it's a thing. I'm telling you, again, from the behavioral analyst I had on my boat, I was lucky to have, you cannot change what you don't acknowledge.
Yeah, it's a fact. Right? Mm-hmm.
So that's the point of analyzing your feelings, is to understand where you are so you can make small changes. Acknowledge that, you know, I'm just afraid. I'm afraid of being broke. Or, you know, your parents didn't have a lot of money growing up. I'm just afraid of going back to that situation. I'm, you know, afraid to make these decisions. I'm afraid if I put my money in the market, it might go down. Like, just, you got to acknowledge that you're actually afraid.
Yeah. And that fear can motivate you or it can paralyze you, but you've got to acknowledge that it's there. don't be in denial. I think a lot of us are in denial about these things.
Yeah, because what we want, right? Like when you think about a scarcity mindset, is just you're just afraid that you just lack things, right? I lack all things. I'm lacking so many things. I'm lacking things in this area. Instead of it limiting you, it should be empowering you.
Yeah.
Some people take it as motivation, like, oh, I gotta get me one of those. I've been on several trips, and it's funny because we had a celebrity hairstylist on our trip. Not for us.
This trip was good.
These were a group of friends that just happened to have really dope careers.
Super friends. Let's just say super friends.
And so after our trip, we were in a yacht, right? Wow. But we were in a mega yacht.
You've said that.
And we kept pulling up to these mega yachts.
Really?
Disrespectful, right? And the response consistently was, I just got to make more money. I got to work harder. It wasn't like our booning. You know, our boat is whack because this boat, like, it was none of that.
Tiffany, why you got us on this boat?
Nope.
I know you make a lot of money.
It was, I just got to make more money. Yeah. I just got to work harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Word. And we ended up bumping into the people, a lot of the people who own these boats, and no celebrities.
Yeah.
Very unassuming people who I assume just invested well or had money insight or just worked hard.
Dennis. Chiropractors.
Yeah, literally.
Consultants.
There was this one boat next to us, and it was very disrespectful. Let's start there, in size and just, and we went to dinner and we were taking pictures at dinner, and this guy comes over to us. He said, let me take the picture for you. Sure, older white man, not old, like just older white man.
It's a good way to pick up chicks, by the way.
And he took the picture. And went back to his table. So we went to his table and said, do you guys want us to take a picture of you? And they were like, oh, that's so great. They were the ones who owned a disrespectful boat. Now, as black people, we're nosy.
What do y'all do?
So we Googled.
Oh, shit. Excuse me.
We got on the Googles.
Oh, and snap.
Because yachts have a name. All yachts have a name. You can look up the name of the yacht.
Yeah.
$90 million yacht. If they owned it, doubt they own it. Mm-hmm. $800,000 a week to rent it, to charter.
Okay. I got that.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't retire.
Or I just got to work a little harder. Got to do something different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So acknowledge your fear. Next, you got to identify the cause of your fear.
Yeah. What's the cause? Like maybe you grew up in abject poverty. Maybe you grew up around parents that had a poverty mindset. Maybe you just, you watched MC Hammer blow all his money.
Don't throw him in there. He's doing great.
I'm just saying maybe you saw that, his rise and fall.
It's plenty of people who've blown their money. Okay. And he's not destitute and he still is doing well.
You can't mention MC Hammer without
not in a negative light.
I didn't mention him in a negative light.
You threw him under the bus.
Oh my God. I'm saying maybe that story made you afraid. Steve
Harvey, he didn't pay his taxes. keep MC Hammer's name out your mouth.
I love Steve Harvey and I love MC Hammer.
Okay. So identify the cause of fear. And I do agree with Alan. Oftentimes it's our childhood experience or just exposure to seeing someone make bad financial decisions or just not have any finances. It lives with us in a way that cripples us later on down the line. Yeah. So identify that's where it comes from. Yeah. Because when you identify where it comes from, you can then be a lot more realistic. Alan talks about fear is false evidence appearing real. Once you realize where it came from, you can impart reality to it.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom grew up in really bad poverty, and when we were growing up, my mom didn't have a lot of food to eat. And so when we were growing up, we always had like mad food, like overly ridiculous amounts of food.
Yeah, and not to your mom, but like hoarders are like this.
Yeah.
Right? Because they didn't have growing up. Now they just have way too much and they keep everything. It's a little shady.
And my mom's not a hoarder, by the way.
Yes, and not speaking to your mom.
Don't bring my mom up in a negative light, like MC Hammer. Okay.
It wasn't a negative light. Okay. I had to say this to my mother one time, and this is because she's from the South, right? I'm good. It's not because she has a poverty mindset, even though she kind of slightly does. Saving the grease after you cook your food. Now, I get the flavor. It's a cultural thing, and the flavor enhances. But after you've used the same grease about three times, we're stepping into a poverty mindset at this point. And it's a scarcity.
If it's been sitting out there for a month, I think that's a little too much.
Okay. I know the grease has it's supposed to have like a caramel color to it. When it's black and you're still saving it and using it, you can buy more oil, y'all. It's oil everywhere. Yeah. I know it helps with the flavor, but when it's too far gone.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, my parents have so much expired food in their house right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because my mom always just is so afraid.
Yeah. Next, you have to talk about it. You have to talk about it with somebody.
Yeah.
You might not need a therapist, but it can easily be your spouse. It can be your friends. I guarantee you, if you bring it up to your friends, they will be able to relate. They'll be like, girl, I thought it was just me.
Yeah.
You know, talk about, listen, I have this fear around money and it came from this and I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to get through it. Do you have any advice? Do you have any recommendations? What helps you?
Yeah.
But you got to talk about it. You cannot be ashamed of not having it all figured out.
Yeah. I usually try to keep like $100 in my pocket at all times. Even though I know I got money in the bank on the debit card. Just like, yo, I need to make sure I don't know what's going to happen.
I got you.
I need some cash.
I got you. I think a lot of this speaks to, especially right now, it's a lot of social media. I hope that people understand, if you could really just get this one statement under your belt, I feel like it would help in a lot of ways. Perfection is not the destination. So just because you don't have a ton of money in the bank, just because you still have debt, just because you might still be living check to check, does not mean that you're not doing well, that you're not figuring it out.
Yeah.
I think people feel like, well, my situation isn't perfect. So I'm afraid, I'm anxious, I'm not going to do anything, I'm just staying here, I'm going to stand still.
Yeah, that's not good.
You got to talk about it.
Yeah, talk about it.
And then once you talk about it,
then you got to take some actions,
do
my guy.
About it.
Action, action, step.
Oh my God.
that's
the North Star. Yeah. Shout out to the North Star.
Big shout out to Sean.
That's hilarious. But yeah, you got to take action. You got to do something about it.
Take
which
action.
I feel like might be the easiest part if you do the first three steps.
Word.
Right? I genuinely feel like action is only hard when you don't know what you're acting against, when you haven't acknowledged the situation, identify where it came from, and talked about it. Like if you just jump into action, I think that makes it like debilitating. But
yeah.
If you've done the other steps, it's hard not to change when you identify a problem and where it came from.
Yeah.
You know
fact.
What I mean? If you have a leak in your house and it's coming from the pipe upstairs, now when you don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah, that's a problem.
My house is falling apart. But you're afraid.
We ain't gonna make it.
Yeah, appearing real. Oh, this house ain't shit. I knew this house wasn't shit. Like, that's where you go with it. But when you, all right, y'all see that leak? Something's leaking. Let me figure out where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's from the bathroom upstairs. Let me talk to a plumber.
Yeah.
You can't identify it, find it, find a person to fix it, and not do it. Like, your natural instinct is, okay, I talked to a plumber about it. He said it's only going to cost this much. I only need these things. Let's get it done. When you do those three preliminary steps, taking action is very easy. When you don't do those steps, taking action seems impossible.
No, that's a great point. I love how you broke that down. Yeah, one of the action steps might be hiring a financial advisor. Dare I say it might be hiring a financial coach. I know we don't really...
We're not financial coaches.
Yeah, we're not that.
We'll start right there.
We're not financial mentors or financial therapists or anything
none
like that.
None of the above.
But people that work with advisors tend to say that it makes them feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because it helps them to be accountable to someone and it helps you to have a plan. Because a lot of folks don't have a plan and don't know how easy it is to get a plan.
So, Alan, you're always hungry. You're greedy like that.
What?
So you're always hungry. Just go with me.
Okay.
Okay. You're always hungry.
Okay.
And that might come from, I didn't eat last night. That might come from a variety of different places.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that you're hungry. You go to the grocery store. You cook the food.
Okay.
Is there any chance you're just going to walk away from the food and not eat it?
Hell no.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right?
No.
You've identified the issue. You've gone to the grocery store, talked to somebody about it, got what you needed, cooked the food.
Yeah.
It's going to be in your natural instinct to then eat the food. Problem
yeah.
solved. Done.
Yeah. No, I like that.
Yeah. The hard part wasn't the eating.
Yeah.
It was the acknowledgement.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially if it's turkey wings with some...
gravy.
Yeah. Some macaroni and cheese, collard greens.
Lord.
Yeah. I will eat that all day. That's
nope,
my favorite
walk
food.
Away.
No!
Just walk away.
No!
Yeah. And part of that, so the next step in overcoming fear... You got to find very targeted information.
Yeah.
We are great about finding resources and content that support any thought we have under the sun.
Yeah.
No matter what the earth is flat. Yeah, it's three videos. I seen this video. Like, mm-hmm. whatever it is.
Kyrie Irving said that.
How ridiculous or wrong, people will go out of their way to find the information or content that supports
yeah.
this thought.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do that around your financial wealth.
Yeah. find the right information, listen to a good podcast, perhaps the Momentum Advisors.
Yeah, so yeah, if you are listening to this podcast, you have started.
Yeah, preaching to the choir the right now.
There you go.
Yeah,
this so is y'all step have one. Found the targeted information.
This is step one.
It's actually step five.
Yeah, no, this is, I mean, in their life.
I'm going to believe that you've done all the things. You've recognized you got an issue.
Yeah. And right? This is the first day of the rest of your financial life from this point
hopefully
forward.
Hopefully it's not. Hopefully it's, okay. Hopefully you started.
Life
right?
is changing.
Because again, this is
you.
Step five on our plan. But you took action, and even if the action is just finding a podcast for you to get the information.
Facts.
Okay, so you got to find targeted information, podcasts, videos, books, hiring a service provider, having a consultation. You may not have enough money to pay for a financial advisor or any of the things, but you can always get a consultation. There's always a free consultation. Mm-hmm. We do free consultations for people all the time, and we give you the information to make better decisions moving forward.
Yeah. And then you got to do it.
And then you got to do it. But find targeted information. And then next, my favorite one.
The final step.
You got to show some kindness.
To yourself.
To yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Some grace.
We beat ourselves up about getting into this situation, running up this credit card. Your kid is 17 and not having any college savings.
It is what it is at this point.
Listen. You got to show yourself some kindness.
Don't beat yourself up. People beat themselves up so much.
Yeah.
They'd be so embarrassed calling us up. Hey.
I hate to tell you this.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the bathroom I know. Yeah. Like, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
We're all human. I don't even want to say we all make mistakes because that's obvious, but we all don't know everything.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And so if you made decisions based around the limited amount of knowledge you had.
You did your best.
You did your best.
Time.
At the time,
you know.
Your only responsibility is to learn more and be open to better and new information.
Yeah. And if you can get through these steps, I think that's worth celebrating.
100%.
I really do.
I guarantee your fear around money will change dramatically and you'll be moving in the right direction.
Remember, it's false evidence. It just appears real.
Absolutely. So we will be back next week. I'm Tiffany Haunted.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.